But welcome to this Day of Pentecost 2024 here in Appomattox. And again, I'm very happy and excited to be with you all here as we worship our God today. The title of my offertory message today is simply this. It's entitled, A Right Example. And you and I all know, we know that we have countless opportunities every week to set a right example in so many ways. And a very important way, though, is to make a concerted effort to make a difference in someone else's life. Today, though, I want to focus on another area that we need to consider a right example. And we're not going to turn to Deuteronomy 16:16 like we've done for many, many years in many offertory messages, because I think we know the command that we're to give our offerings to God as we're able. I want to look at this a little bit today and look at our offering from another perspective by looking at a profound right example. You can turn over to Matthew 16 if you want. I see long ago, Christ surprised his disciples by praising a seemingly wasteful act, if you will. And as we walk through this story, I want you to consider, why did he put so much emphasis on it? And actually, I'm talking and not turning to the right place. Matthew 16. Actually, Christ prophesied that one specific act, as we turn over here, by one specific woman would be preached everywhere, that the gospel is preached in all the world. So Matthew 16, I'm still not there. Matthew 16, let's read verses 6 and 7. We'll jump into the story here, but Matthew 16, verse 6 and 7 starts out here. It says, Then Jesus said to them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have no bread. Now, you might think we're talking about unleavened bread today, and we're not. But understand the story here. This was near the end of Christ's ministry here. And though he had a much more specific, and he'd become much more serious about his impending sacrifice, it seems that once again his disciples just didn't get it. They were like, what's he talking about? You know, what occurred was not what they expected, right? The coming Messiah, the conquering king of the Old Testament. But as recall, we won't go there today. You remember at a dinner at Simon the leper's house, you remember when something extraordinary happened at that meeting? I remind you, okay? So Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and this is the same Lazarus that Christ had recently resurrected from the dead, she did an extravagant and, you know, in some people's eyes, a really foolish thing. And let's read on, one of the three gospel accounts here in Matthew 26. And if we took the time, we'll read Matthew 26, but if we took the time to read the parallel scriptures over in Mark 14 and John 12, we'll see here that the oil that she poured on his head and also on his feet wasn't just poured on his head and also on his feet. And it's vital as we read through this that we understand that this oil was a very rare oil, a very expensive perfume. And some sources even say, we don't know this, that it might have came from India. And now, I know we don't normally think of honoring someone this way. If I came into your house and you poured oil on my head and feet, I would initially not think I was being honored. You know, that's not what we do. But the NIV commentary points out that in those days, it says, quote, a distinguished rabbi might be so honored. So continuing the story, Matthew 26, verses 8 and 9. We'll start in verse 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, Why this waste? for this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Now, again, they didn't get it, and what was going on. And if you, just a point to note, all of the disciples were saying this, but over in the parallel account in John 12:4, it makes it clear that the leading voice in this dissension was from Judas, which is interesting to note. Judas Iscariot, again, the guy who carried the money box. But we know that his concern wasn't genuine. He stole money from the box, so his concern wasn't a genuine one. But it's interesting to note, though, that the rest of the disciples joined in here in rebuking Mary for this personal waste. In Mark 14:5, you don't have to turn over there, but that's one of the parallel accounts. It mentions that this oil was worth more than 300 denarii. To put that in perspective, that's more than a year's wages for a laborer at the time. So this oil is worth a lot. And I think about that sometimes. What if I'd been there? First of all, I can't imagine owning a bottle of oil or perfume worth that kind of money. You know, I'm pretty frugal and waste bothers me. And it's likely that I probably would have joined in the disciples and would have been giving Mary a hard time. And I'm sad to say that, but I probably would have. Even after Jesus had just told his disciples about the importance of serving the poor back in chapter 25 here. But in my little mind, the thought of just throwing away a year's wages, you know, I would have thought it could have been put to much better use than just being poured out. But not surprisingly, guess who did not agree? Our Savior Christ did not agree. Going on down here, verse 10 and 11, when Jesus was aware of this, look at what he says. He says, "But when Jesus was aware of this, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always.'" So once again, we see the disciples who were so sure that they were right, once again being corrected here and surprised by Christ as he's rebuking them for criticizing Mary. And as we know, during this particular time period, this was during the Passover season, this was kind of the last straw for Judas Iscariot. And we know that soon afterwards he would betray his master and friend for 30 pieces of silver. So to kind of bring it all together. But note, as we think about that, those 30 pieces of silver, many experts agree that those silver coins that Judas receives were tetradrachmas, worth 4 denarii. So, just to put it in perspective for the repurpose of this offertory, if this is accurate, Judas received a payment equivalent to 120 denarii, not even half of what the perfume cost. Think about it. Mary's freely given donation, right, offering, if you will, was worth far more than what it took to buy Judas. But notice here, verse 12 and 13, as we go on, it says, "For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So, why did Mary do this? And why did Christ say it would be used as an example throughout the world? Well, let's consider this from Mary's perspective for a moment. First of all, understand again the timing. This wasn't long after her brother had died and Christ had raised him from the dead. And she knew deep in her heart who Christ was. Okay? She knew that Jesus was the Christ, that he was our ruler, the creator. And so I ask you, if you put yourself in her position, how much is that worth? You know, how do you possibly put a price on that? And we also notice, if we understand the story, and I think we've all read it before, that Mary was beginning to understand that Christ was willing to die for her and all of mankind, you know, to give us eternal life. She's starting to grasp that concept. Haley's Bible Handbook from 2000 puts it this way on page 702. I'll read it to you. It said, Jesus probably had spoken of his coming crucifixion, and Mary, kind-hearted, compassionate, thoughtful, loving Mary, perhaps noticing a pain in his eye, said to herself, this is no parable. He means it. And she went and got the rarest treasure from her household and poured it on his head and feet and wiped them with her hair. Perhaps not a word was said, but he, Christ, understood that she was trying to tell him how much her heart ached. Think about that. We all have already put our offerings together, and they're likely sealed in the envelope, and that's fine. I'm not trying to get any more money out of anyone. That's not what this is about. But as we give our offering today, and as we in the future, as we prepare our offerings, consider this story and understand just what it means, okay? What it means, what it meant to Mary at the time. And I hope what we can see from this story is that as we see Mary's example, and that it reminds us that God deserves our very best, no matter what it is. And of course, this applies to all aspects of our lives, but it specifically today applies to our offerings, as we are supposed to give God our best. It doesn't say you give him all your money. It doesn't say that you give him what you don't have. It says you give him according to your blessings, and that is between you and God. Okay. I've had friends that were very generous and then they couldn't buy groceries. That's just not reasonable. That's not what's expected. Or couldn't pay their rent. So understand, this is not about trying to get more money out of people. It's about the mindset that we have to develop. You know, not just toss the envelope in the basket as it comes by as an afterthought kind of thing and go through the motions. As we prepare our offerings in the future, we should be praying about them. We know God doesn't need our money. It's all his anyway. He doesn't need any of our money. But we have the opportunity to be an active part of the work today by giving him our offerings. As God's people, brethren, we've been called to give our all. We've been called to always honor him and to give our very best to him. And again, I'm not talking about being careless or irresponsible, but it's instead putting God first and having a balanced approach to everything, and that includes our offerings and our tithes. Understand, we cannot truly put God first while completely ignoring our families or our health. And again, we should not make an offering to God that is irresponsible. But we are told to give as we're able and to do it with the right time, right frame of mind, which of course is the right attitude. So as we prepare to give our offering to God now, let's remember the example Mary set for us. The example that Christ said would be preached throughout the world. Let's remember Mary, who set the example of giving the best she had for her Master and Savior and ours.